Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling, well, one of the oldest stories we have, Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4.
A really profound one.
Exactly. And we're not just retelling it. We've been looking at this really insightful discussion about it. And our mission today is to pull out some maybe surprising insights, things about worship, jealousy, responsibility, you know, the big
this stuff is right.
Yeah.
Because it starts right at the beginning, doesn't it? Adam and Eve are out of Eden.
Right. A whole new world.
And then come the sons.
Yeah.
Cain and Abel. And the source we looked at really points out their distinct paths right away. Cain's working the soil, a farmer.
Grounded, literally.
And Abel, the shepherd, tending flocks. It kind of sets up this difference from the get-go.
Okay, so they have their lives, their jobs, and then comes this pivotal moment. They both bring offerings to God. Seems straightforward enough.
Well, yes and no. This is where the details matter, and our source really digs into this.
Okay, tell us, what were the offerings?
Cain brings some of the fruits of the soil, just some fruit. But Abel, he brings fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. See the difference?
Ah, yeah, fat portions firstborn. That sounds more specific, more intentional.
Exactly. The text says God looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but not on Cain's. And the discussion we reviewed suggests, while the text isn't explicit on the why, it hints strongly at the quality or the heart behind it.
So Abel's felt wholehearted, maybe even sacrificial, giving the best.
Precisely. Like it cost him something. Whereas Cain's, it was more routine, just here's some produce, without that deep intentionality. It wasn't just what they brought, but how they brought it.
And Cain's reaction to God not favoring his offering, it's intense.
Oh, absolutely. The text says he became furious and downcast. You can practically feel the anger and the hurt boiling up.
Right. And then God speaks directly to Cain, not just with judgment, but with questions.
Yeah, this part's fascinating. God asks, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?
And then if you do what is right, will you not be accepted?
Mm-hmm. Our source really emphasized this as God reaching out. It's less a rebuke and more of an invitation.
An invitation? How so?
Well, it's an invitation for Cain to look inward,
mm-hmm.
to reflect. God's essentially saying, okay, you're feeling this anger, this rejection, but you have a choice now. You can still do what's right.
He's offering a path back. Acceptance is still possible.
Exactly. It highlights this idea of human choice.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're overwhelmed by emotion, God lays it out pretty clearly.
Wow. And then comes that incredibly powerful warning, just the imagery.
Oh, yeah. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.
Crouching like an animal, like a predator. It's so visceral. Sin isn't just an idea. It's this active force waiting to pounce if you let your guard down.
It is. And the source discussion really keyed in on this as the tragic hinge point. God gives this stark, clear warning, this chance.
But Cain doesn't take it.
He doesn't. He chooses not to listen, not to rule over that feeling. He lets the anger, the jealousy win. And that choice, despite the warning, is crucial.
And the consequence is devastating. He talks with Abel, leads him out to the field.
And kills him. The first murder. Born out of that anger and resentment he refused to master.
Such a dark turn. And God confronts him again, right?
Yes. And again, it starts with a question. Where is your brother Abel?
Which God obviously knows the answer to.
Of course. The source points out this isn't about information gathering for God. It's about confrontation. It's forcing Cain to face what he did. It's a call for accountability.
And Cain's answer? It's become infamous.
Hasn't it? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? So defiant. So evasive.
That question, am I my brother's keeper? Our source really highlighted how that just resonates through all of time, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's the question about human community, about responsibility. Are we isolated individuals or are we connected? What do we owe each other? It challenges you, me, everyone listening. What does it mean to look out for one another?
It's a question we're still wrestling with, and God's response to Cain's evasion is just chilling.
What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.
The blood cries out. What does that mean?
Our source interprets this powerfully. It means injustice leaves a mark. It can't just be buried and forgotten. It has a voice.
So God hears it, the victim's cry?
Yes. God hears the cry of the innocent, the oppressed. It signifies that actions have consequences, that wrongs are noticed at a divine level. You can't ultimately hide from the truth of what you've done.
Wow. Okay, so this ancient story, how does it land for us now, thinking about our own lives? Our source drew some contemporary lines, right?
Definitely. I mean, think about Cain's reaction to disappointment. God didn't accept his offering the way he wanted. How do we react when we feel slighted or rejected or just angry?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Do we let it fester like Cain did?
Or do we heed that inner warning like God urged Cain to? The story is almost a case study in where unchecked negative emotion can lead. It reminds us we have that choice point. We feel the anger. Okay, but what do we do next? Do we try to rule it or let it rule us?
That's powerful. And what about the brother's keeper part?
Mm.
In our world today, which can feel pretty individualistic sometimes.
Mm. The source really framed Cain's question as an attempt to shed responsibility, to say, not my problem. But God's response flips that entirely.
How so?
That crying blood, it affirms our connection.
Yeah.
Our actions, even our inaction, affect others. Being your brother's or sister's keeper isn't necessarily about huge dramatic acts. It's about recognizing that fundamental link, that shared humanity.
So it's about seeing that we are responsible for fostering a just, compassionate environment. We can't just shrug it off.
That seems to be the challenge, yes. To call away from indifference and towards active care and responsibility within our communities. God didn't just let Cain walk away. He held him accountable, showing that these connections matter deeply.
Okay, so bringing this deep dive toward a close, let's maybe crystallize three reflections you can take away from this story based on our discussion.
Good idea.
First, think about God's question to Cain. Why are you angry? Maybe see that as an invitation for yourself. Look inside, really understand your emotions, and deal with them proactively. Don't let them steer you somewhere you don't want to go.
That's a great point. Self-awareness is the first step.
Second, that whole idea of being our brother's keeper, it really pushes you to think, how can I look out for others? Even when it's hard or inconvenient, how do we live out that connection?
Mm, moving beyond just ourselves.
And third, that image of the blood crying out. It's a reminder, maybe a comfort, that injustice isn't invisible. God notices, and it calls us to respond with compassion, knowing our actions matter.
Consequences are real, and so is the call to justice.
Exactly. So here's a final thought for you to chew on, something to mull over. God literally spoke to Cain. He warned him, spelled out the danger, even showed him the path to acceptance before the terrible act. Given all that divine intervention, what does this story tell us about just how critical our own personal choices are, especially when we're facing down really strong emotions? How much weight rests on our accountability?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Choice, responsibility, even when God makes things clear.
Something to think about. We'd definitely love to hear your thoughts on this deep dive.